I'm your host, Mary Copeland. This infotainment podcast explores how to live your best life now and well into retirement. We'll discuss topics in financial planning, housing, and insurance. We'll talk wellness, relationships, and leisure activities. A full, active life requires planning for your goals and preparing for the unexpected. I'll introduce you to a variety of guests, from knowledgeable experts to folks sharing stories of their life experiences and so much more, because life is big. All is intended to help guide you in planning for what you need now and at any age. Like and subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Today, my guests are Jim Freeman and Renita Olson with Silver Bridge Senior Transitions. This dynamic duo have made it their mission to help seniors and their families plan for an efficient, stress-free move to a new life. Jim is a certified senior transition specialist with Mom's House and a senior real estate specialist. Renita has served individual seniors and care communities as a volunteer, and both of them have had hands-on experience with their own loved ones' transitions. Jim and Renita, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us, Mary. We're really excited to be here.
Thanks, Mary. Yeah, good to be here.
Great. So based on what I just told everybody about you, I think it's only appropriate today that we speak about transitions in someone's life due to healthcare, financial, or physical constraints, and how to recognize these and provide folks with support and resources for a sustainable, improved quality of life. So what we're going to do, I'm going to approach today's podcast a little bit differently, and we're going to illustrate this through different real life stories that Jim and Renita are going to share with us. So are you folks ready to tell some stories?
I love to tell stories.
Great. Absolutely. I'm going to jump into my first question to the two of you, which is, what inspired each of you to dedicate your time to seniors?
Well, I'll start off with that. I was raised mostly by my grandparents. So they had a very influential part of my life from a young age. My grandmother was a volunteer of the year many times at Martha and Mary Nursing Home in Paulsville. And I used to love going and volunteering in the gift shop and doing the sing-alongs and all the different things that she did as a volunteer there. And so at a young age, elementary school, a lot of my very best friends were seniors in a care community. And that continued on in a lot of different areas of my life. And most recently, I had a neighbor that I care gave for 5 years. She was in her late 70s and then into her early 80s living alone. And I got the opportunity to attend appointments with her and do lots of different things to care give for her, and also learn about how difficult it was to find resources, to even understand the resources that were available, to just get help all the way around. It was very difficult, and I struggled. And in that, I got really passionate about finding help for people who needed it, because she was not alone in her struggle. And there's so many other folks out there that really need help, seniors and their families. So that has become a huge passion of mine.
Well, your neighbor was very lucky to have you living nearby. Jim, what's your story? What inspired you?
Well, Mary, as you know, I'm a professional real estate broker. And over the years, I've sold over 550 homes, and a large proportion of those were people who were seniors. And they were, in a position where they were wanting to move somewhere else, do something else. And, I guess over time, you sort of notice patterns and what people do, although everybody's situation is unique. But the thing that really smacked me in the face to awaken to the need and the challenges of what we call transitions for seniors was my experience with my parents. My dad died in a given year. My mother died about 10 years later. And even though they were responsible, intelligent people, we, as a family, we didn't handle it very well. And the result was a pretty negative outcome for my father. There was a number of problems for my mother, but I was able to step in and correct some of those problems. And with a large expenditure of time and resources, I was able to make it come out okay.
Well, we're going to tap into that story a little later in the interview, I think. So thank you for sharing how the two of you were inspired. Can you just tell me briefly, what is a senior transition specialist, since we've been throwing that word around a little bit?
Well, so the name itself implies a certain level of professional training. So in my case, I have certificates here and there. You mentioned Mom's House being one. I also have an SRES designation as a member of the National Association of Realtors. I don't know if I told you this, but I also have a certificate that says I'm a guardian ad litem. I took the legal training to do that. But really the answer, Mary, is transition specialists are people who have made themselves available, made themselves competent, and gathered resources and experience together to help seniors improve their lives when their lives are changing and they need some help. And a transition specialist would be expected to know things. They would be expected to have an attitude of service and caring for transitions and a feeling for what they're going through. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to do things. We have to be able to get stuff moved in the right direction, overcome blockages, and get people moving into a condition where their life is better.
Well, let's jump into a story then, because I think sharing stories is a great way for our listeners to hear that someone else is going through something similar in their life, and that they're not alone, and that there are professionals out there to help. So as I alluded to earlier, Jim, why don't you share your personal story with us? Because I know you were the personal representative, also known as executor, for your mom's estate. And if I'm not mistaken, it's about 14 months now that you're still working on the duties that entailed. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, so as I said earlier, you know, the story started with the death of my father, which is about 10 years prior to the death of my mother. And because of changes in the law, basically from 1975 through roughly 2011, their estate and will documents had become invalid and they didn't know it. So one thing that could have fixed that would have been, you know, a periodic review by an attorney of what your documents are and a discussion with the people involved. I didn't know, for instance, that they had appointed me as their durable power of attorney. So if you have a valid will, so once that disaster occurred, I hired an attorney. We corrected that problem for my mother. She appointed me as her durable power of attorney. Powers of attorney do expire upon death. So the will documents also have to say who's going to be the personal representative or the executor of the estate. And that's another section in the documents, depending on how you, what attorney you use and what their opinion is about how those documents should be put together. But what they should say is that upon death, that you are the person who the decedent wished to have conduct their affairs. And there's a, you know, death is kind of a big change, right? We'll all admit that. And the nature of the stuff that people own when they die, in a legal sense, converts into an estate, which becomes a business. It's no longer personal assets, real estate, whatever it may be, but it becomes a business. And it's the duty of the personal representative and the administrator to carry out the legal requirements, the tax requirements, and I would say the emotional requirements, if there are other heirs involved and other people involved. You have to step forward and say that I'm going to carry out what my mother's and my father's wishes were in this case. And I didn't realize a lot of that, you know, when I volunteered to become the personal representative. The first thing I had to do was to gain control of the assets of the estate, which we did by filing what's called a probate notice. Now, a lot of people feel, you know, that word scares them. It's really not such a big deal. You know, if it's done properly, and I would say if you hire an attorney to do it that's competent, it's pretty easy. It does take some time because there's a notification period. The minimum statutory notification period in the state of Washington is 60 days. But during that period of time, people who have claims against the estate or, you know, want to say something about it, maybe they want to challenge the will, whatever it might be, can come forward. But after the that period expires, it's done. So no more questions about creditors or challenging the will, anything like that. In filing for probate, your attorney is going to obtain from a court what are called letters testamentary. You have to have those. I carry around a big folder full of letters testamentary and death certificates and all kinds of documents that prove that I'm the person that I say I am and have authority to execute for the estate. In my experience, I had to gain control of the assets, which included her home. We had stuff, you know, like everybody does. There were two other heirs, to my brother and sister. One of them was occupying the property. We had to settle that. So there's a lot of things to do. Among the most important is making sure that all the taxes, personal taxes, income taxes were filed by the decedent and that taxes were paid. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot of responsibility, but I'm happy to have done that for my mother. She didn't have to worry about anything, you know, when she didn't need to.
Well, I know that being an executor, the personal representative, they're synonymous, is really a job. It's a lot of work. And, you know, like you said, you're 14 months into this. So I just want our listeners to take note that when you're preparing your legal documents, number one, do it in advance. You want to do this in advance.
Yes.
And you want to have this conversation with those that are involved. You can't just appoint somebody without their blessing. You know, ask them if they're up for this task. Mm-hmm. So let's share a different story now. Jim and Renita, can you share a story with us where it seemed like it was an impossible situation as senior transition specialist, but yet you figured out solutions for the family. So why don't you tell us what the problem was, you know, for the story, and then tell us the solution.
Well, are you talking about the story of Joe and Joellen?
Yes.
Okay. So this was after I was deep into this experience of being the personal representative for my mother and all, everything that happened prior to that. Mm-hmm. And we were contacted by a woman who lived in Arizona. Her mother and her mother's husband lived in Bremerton, Washington. Mm-hmm. And they were well advanced in age. They were in their 80s. The mother was experiencing advanced dementia. The husband had lesser severity of dementia, but also physical problems. And they lived in a two-story big home with a big garage. They had had a large lot. And the husband had been taking care of things on his own pretty much, but was no longer able to do it. And the daughter was concerned that her mother was not getting proper care. And she wanted to move her mother to a memory care facility in Arizona so she could be close by. And an interesting part of the story is that these two people, this married couple, this was a repeated marriage. They were, I don't know, three or four marriages into it for either or both of them. So there was a great, you know, collection of step siblings and relatives involved and ex-wives and ex-husbands.
A lot of people.
The whole layer.
A complex family.
Which we all are.
Everybody, exactly. Yeah.
But I want to say in this particular case, the people were so over the top, gracious and intelligent, and set aside whatever differences they may have had to try to formulate the best solution and work towards it. But in this particular case, there was, like there always is, there was a lot of stuff, personal property. Some of it was valuable, some of it wasn't. It had to be taken care of. The home had to be, there was some smoking going on in the home, so that had to be corrected. There was some deferred maintenance that had to be corrected. The mother in particular needed professional assessments to determine her level of need. So there's a number of things that had to be done in order for them to even get ready to move, not to mention selling a house. But they needed money to do that. There were no resources left in the financial arrangements that this couple had. And so we coached them. We helped them develop a description of all the work that had to be done, both transition work and pre-transaction expenses. And then we assigned budget items for each line item and determined the total amount of money that was needed. In this case, it was tens of thousands of dollars. And we provided that money to them in the form of personal loan that was available to them prior to the sale of the house. So the needed thing, the things that the mother needed in particular and that the father needed were taken care of before, having to deal with any of the house being sold.
And then you were reimbursed from the proceeds of the house.
Right. And there's sufficient equity in the home to pay that personal loan off. That was a principal source of repayment. That money, again, jump-started a number of things happened and made a deposit for the estate sale company to come in and do what they did, and the cleanup company and the people that washed the house, the exterior of the house. There were some repairs that needed to be done. The mother needed travel expenses, on and on and on. So,
and so everything worked out well, and she's
everything worked out well. We were able to sell the home for a price that made everybody happy within 90 days. From the time we were introduced to the couple to the time that we were able to put a check in their pocket, it was 90 days.
And now Joe and Joellen are safely in new residences and being cared for properly and having a better quality of life. And that's what it comes down to.
And they didn't have to wait the entire 90 days to get the care that they needed. It was available ahead of time, which is, care is such a big deal.
And 90 days can seem like forever. So, we have time for just one more story. I think we can squeeze one in. So how about, Renita, you share with us how you've been able to help someone stay in their home, yet they weren't, because they just weren't ready yet to sell the home and move on to a different dwelling. And how did you make that current situation more sustainable? Because prior to meeting you, it was not the best scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure as many of the listeners know, often making that choice to move out of the home can be very trying. And, these folks that we were introduced to, a friend of mine reached out and said, I know these people that really need some help. And we don't know where to start. And so I reached out, and the lady was just, she was so overwhelmed. She was buried in so many things. Her husband was diagnosed with dementia, and she was his sole caregiver. She previously was a breast cancer survivor. And so she had been through chemo and different things that had completely destroyed her teeth. So she had no teeth. Her current medical care did not offer coverage for that, but there wasn't finances available to be able to make dentures a possibility. She's the sole caregiver at their home. So she's not only maintaining her husband in the interior of the home, she has mobility issues. So if you can imagine her on her deck with her walker, pressure washing the porch and doing all of the things of the day-to-day to maintenance a home and being elderly and, having health issues of her own. I mean, it was just so much, and there weren't resources available to have help come in. And so, you just feel stuck. And thankfully we have a lot of resources. Like we've said, we were able to connect her with a Medicare specialist who was able to review her current medical policies and find something that was more suitable for her needs and covered, medications that she needed, but also was able to find a dental plan that would cover dentures for her, which, we want to smile and just, so that the last time I spoke with her, she was just getting ready to undergo a full mouth dental surgery to prepare her for the next step, which was going to be her full set of dentures. So that was just, she's beyond the moon about that. And additionally, we were able to connect them with a VA specialist. He was a combat veteran. Mm-hmm. And so they were able to find resources above and beyond traditional VA
aid and attendance.
Aid and attendance, yes, because of his combat experience. And they were able to actually get extra money per month toward in-home care. So she could have a day a week to care for herself, to breathe in and out, to run away or do whatever it is that she needed to do to be able to sustain where they were choosing to stay in that time. So, you know, at some point they may need to leave their home and that may be the safest option for them, but we always want to help and support people to be able to do what feels good for them at the present time and create options for going forward if that becomes no longer sustainable.
Everybody's situation is different, and illustrating mm-hmm. that to our listeners through these different stories, I think, is helpful, and it lets them know that there are options out there, you know, because sometimes you could just feel so overwhelmed and you become paralyzed and you don't do anything then because you don't know what your options are or where to turn.
Where do you even start?
Right. How do you get the help to improve the situation? Yeah. So I think I'd like to wrap this up with asking you to tell our listeners, what are the signs that they should be looking for in advance so they don't find themselves in these crisis situations like some of the folks in the stories that you shared with us today? Can you give them just a few signs, a little bit of advice there?
Well, I know for me personally, when I have experienced this in the past with folks, certain things, you know, if they haven't done advanced planning and they're noticing things like, gosh, mom tells me the same story every time we talk, or, you know, I know we just had a conversation about this, but she's asking again. So, you know, subtle signs of memory loss issues. If they do have people involved in their care, otherwise, you know, getting together and working as a team to kind of, you know, prevent or correlate, I guess, to talk about different experiences, because sometimes not everybody's seeing the same things. And so to really get on the same page and talk and keep communication open and encouraging, I think is really helpful. What about you, Jim?
Yeah, I have, that's kind of a funny story, but I had a retired school teacher friend who was living on his own nearby. And he had a son who lived about 30 miles away. And his son would come up once a week to visit with dad and see how things were going. And my friend had an automatic coffee maker on his kitchen table or kitchen counter. And he also had a little automatic oatmeal maker. And one time his son came to visit him and he noticed that the oatmeal was in the coffee machine. And so this was a clue. And that began, you know, further investigation and eventual move to an adult family home. But there's all sorts of things. It can be, mom, are you taking your meds?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mom, when's the last time you got any exercise? Oh, I don't feel well enough to do that. You know, the house isn't clean. Stuff's in disarray or normally had been in place. The signs get pretty obvious. But the real challenge, Mary, is what do people do about it? What do people do about it? If you haven't even thought about it, or if you haven't had a conversation about it, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, so you got to look for those signs, you know. But again, talk about these things early on. Don't let it get to the point, listeners, where you're putting the oatmeal in the coffee maker, your mom and dad, or that bills aren't getting paid, or that the house, the garbage hasn't gone out in weeks. Just have a system that you're communicating with each other, and whether you live near or far, the technologies these days allow you to visibly see each other. So, you know, have a neighbor check in on them. Know what your local resources are. Every single county has an area on aging agency that is an invaluable resource. Find out who are senior transition specialists in your neighborhood. You know, Silverbridge Senior Transitions is here in Kitsap County, but there are other organizations like Jim and Renita's around the country. So we're going to have to wrap up, but I just want to say wholeheartedly, thank you, Jim and Renita, for telling us these stories today, you know, these real life transition stories. I think it really helps everybody. And there are more stories that they have to share. So if you go to their blog on Silverbridge Senior Transitions, there are videos there telling the story. So I encourage you to go listen to them. But until
we love stories, if people want to contact us and tell us their stories, we're happy to do it.
Yeah. The more stories, the better. It helps everybody.
The more stories, the better.
Yep. But until next week, everyone, take care and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye, guys.